Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you all for joining here and also online with our service today. Can you all hear me well? Comes through okay. And it is a blessing that we are able to gather together to worship. And God's gift that God gave us to this world is our life. And it's a gift that's not our choice. It was God's choice for us to be here in this world and also today. So God has given us the health and strength to get up this morning and to be able to come here and also join online to worship together. So let us worship God together with a grateful heart of whatever things that we are enjoying in our lives. God is good and He is good all the time. The announcements are listed on the second page as the regular announcements. The food bank collection that we are still participating in that, please donate in cash or in kind. And the books are available if you want to buy. It's $10 that will benefit our mission work. The mailing address is listed there. Our cooking class will be scheduled after we get enough volunteers. The art class will have it on next Saturday.
I think it's the third Saturday.
Is it the third Saturday? Okay, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's going to be the 20th. Okay, so I have it wrong. So we will meet on the third Saturday. Then the third Thursday lunch is on August 18 at 1 p.m. at Golden Corral. Today we will have Holy Communion. Please join the Lord's table. All are welcome at the Lord's table. Please come and join. And next Sunday, August 24th, we will have the district setup meeting. I send some of the leaders of that email request. And those of you who can go, please join me. We will be going from here. I know Miss Lou wants to go. She's able to go. We can gather here and grab a quick lunch and go from here. It's at 2 o'clock at the Gainesville First United Methodist Church. After that, we will get the date for the charge conference, which will be sometime in October. So we'll have to have a meeting, a council meeting before that. And we have to make some of the decisions about the leadership for the next year. And many of you have volunteered to do some of the works. And thank you for stepping up, particularly during this time, when a lot of people are not here and not be able to come to church. And also we have to make some maintenance with the church. The parking lot becomes a priority now because the insurance company called me and said they got some word. I don't know where they got it from that the parking lot is at risk. And we need to fix the parking lot and gave me some pictures and marked all of those things. Pretty much they want us to get the whole thing redone in order for us to be covered. So either we have to look for a new insurance company, and I'm looking for one, but at the same time they may have the same requirement. So we have to do something to do the parking lot, and we have some money left in the parking lot fund and also in our savings account, and we can evaluate that and maybe we can get it done without delaying. The more we delay, the worse it gets, and then the insurance company cancels our policy. We are technically not able to open the doors after that. So please keep that in mind and let us pray together and work together to get this done. I think we can get it done. And there are some offers that are coming. If we can match some of the money, somebody will offer some money for the parking lot more. So we need about $30,000-$35,000 to get it done. I think looking at the finances, we can take some from the savings and some from the operational account. We can probably get it done. And we have cut down a lot of expenses by cutting down the cleaning and also some of the computer stuff that we were not using, cut it down. So we are saving some money, and the clerical work, we don't have a secretary. I'm pretty much doing everything for that now, which is not a big deal. So we are saving about $500-$600 a month now. So going forward, we should be in good shape. And Robert and I work together on the finances, and we'll get a better picture once we gather for that council meeting. So please keep that in our prayers, and also looking forward to the next year. Please pray for our mission of this church in this community and around the world. If not, let us worship God together. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, which is hymn number 89. If you are able, please stand. Joyful, love. Hearts on fire like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works rejoice around thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, plain and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, the spring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in now are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lead us to the joy divine. Mortals join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Binding o'er us, binding our within his span. Ever singing, march we onward, pictures in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life. Please be seated. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we have gathered here to worship together in your name, to honor you and bless you, and we thank you for all the manifold blessings that you shower upon us in spite of our sins and now in spite of our life conditions. God the Father, you send your precious Son Jesus Christ to be the light of the world. We pray that you will be here and shine in us through our hearts and our lives, that we may be the beacons of love, peace and justice in this community and around the world. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you gave us to come here to worship you together, Lord, the good health and strength that you have given us in your bodies. Thank you for your protection and care, and indeed for all the good gifts that we receive from you. We come before you as your children to sing praises to you and worship you together, and also take part in the Holy Communion that you have given us to observe. Thank you for being with us and your blessing with your presence in our midst today. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, Lord, that each and every one of us will be touched and blessed by your presence today as we go from this place. May the services of word and praise and the Holy Communion that we offer today bring honor and glory to the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us rise up and greet each other in Christian love. Please remain seated as we sing 374, Standing on the Promises. We will sing verses 1 and 2. Please join. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Please be seated. We will read the responsive reading, which is going to be Psalm 23, which I will be preaching for the next 4 or 5 Sundays. So I put it on the screen that we will read this psalm together for the next 5 Sundays. And many of you probably have it memorized already. But if you have not, this is a time to get it memorized. And on the last Sunday of my preaching, we'll turn off the screen. And then we'll all say it together by memory, from our memory. But it's also in the hymnal book. So you can follow that. It's on 754. But let's try to learn this psalm together. It's a very meaningful psalm, personally for me, and many of you probably the same truth. So let us read that psalm together for the next few Sundays. And then I'll preach on each one of those verses. There are only 6 verses that we can memorize really very easily, and then that's going to be a blessing for us. So please join that responsive reading. If you are able, stand. If you can see the screen, use the screen. If you cannot, it is on page 754.
Those of us who grew up in the Baptist church memorized this as a kid.
Oh, you remember? Yes, yeah. So I remember it as a kid too, because they make you memorize this in the Sunday schools. Mm-hmm. But
when I was a kid, you couldn't get your confirmation.
Exactly. Yeah, in the Methodist church, right.
Yeah.
All right. So please stand and turn to 754 or follow the screen. And let us read that together. Rather than responsively, let's read that together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Please. It is our time for prayer now as we come before God together as a church family to lift up our prayers of blessings. So we will thank God for all the blessings that we receive. And also, we come before God with our prayers of burdens and concerns, and trusting in a God who promised that he will meet our every need according to our need at the right time. It may not be our time, but it is God's time, which is sometimes we may not understand it, but it's always better than our time. So let us go to God in prayer together. The regular prayer requests are at the back of the bulletin, if you want to turn that with me. Some of the prayer requests that are highlighted are immediate prayer requests that we need to pray. The others are regular prayer requests. We can continue in our personal prayers as well. So please keep Carol Clemens. I have highlighted her. She is going through some pain, which we need to pray for her to be patient during this time. And also for the doctors and the nurses to diagnose the problems and treat her accordingly. And George Vorges, we met him, and he has slight improvement. He's still in the hospital. His leak from his stomach has reduced, which is a good sign, after 60 days. Hopefully, the doctor is hoping that it's going to heal by itself. So let us keep him in our prayers that God will perform a miracle that he will be completely healed and go home and start eating regular food. I don't know how you can eat after 70 days without having anything to your mouth. Probably your mouth forgot how to chew. Sometimes it's going to be hard. So please, he's in good spirits, so keep him in our prayers. I haven't heard about Todd Barber. Martha is not online today. And Paul and Becky Horton, one of our friends, used to join online. They're in their late 80s. They got COVID. So please keep them in our prayers. But they don't have a lot of issues or problems or symptoms. But please keep them in our prayers. They're in the 88, 89 age range. Very good people. And Miss Lou could not join us today. She had COVID for last Sunday. And she's online with us now. Can you unmute and tell us how you're doing?
I'm doing a lot better. I've been checking myself and I've taken negative for the COVID, but trying to get rid of this cough.
I know, the cough stays for a month. Yeah, so the cough is going to stay.
I'm trying to get my spirit back up, so.
Okay, good to see you online.
I'll be back at church next Sunday.
Okay, great. If you're coming, we can go together for the meeting if you're able.
Okay,
so God is good, and thanks for joining online.
He's really good with all the issues I got. He's really good.
Absolutely.
I was scary, and I was too, but I know that God is good.
God is good. Thank you. And please pray for our nation as we face an election year. God will bring the right people in power, and also for our president and the Congress and the governors of the state, and also our country and economy. We need to pray that the prices will come down. Our groceries and gas prices are going way up. And so please keep that in our prayers, that God can turn around this economy. And we had some good news this week, I believe. We had some good numbers on the job market, I guess. We got better job opportunities, I believe. So keep that in our prayers about our economy. And also for our military, fire, police, and service workers, that God will bless them and keep them safe. Any special prayer requests or any call-outs? Yes, you.
A niece that was just diagnosed with diabetes last month.
Who?
A niece of mine.
Oh, a niece.
And it came on pretty sudden.
Oh. What's her name?
Deb.
Anything else? No. Okay, let us go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer. And then I'll pray with a summarized prayer after that. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful time that you've given us together, to gather in your name and worship you, Lord, in this church and also online. Thank you for the manifold blessings that you shower upon us, Lord. In spite of our conditions, you still love us. We thank you for covering us with your love and protection every day. We thank you for your care and your compassion that you shower upon us, Lord. We thank you for everything that we enjoy in our lives. It is all your gift and nothing that we can boast of. We come before you with a grateful heart. At the same time, many of us are burdened in our hearts, and many of us are broken in our bodies and in our spirits, Lord, and we come before you as broken people. We thank you for the blessings that you give us in our bodies. At the same time, we need healing, Lord, that we come before you, because you are the healer. No need is so great that God cannot meet it, and no burden is too heavy that you cannot carry it. As the scripture says, God will meet all of our needs according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus. And we know that the riches in glory in heaven are immeasurable in our eyes, and you are promising to bless us with those riches, Lord. Help us, Lord, to trust in your promises as we come before you with our prayers. We particularly lift up those who need your healing at this time. Touch them, Lord. Especially we pray for Miss Lou as she's recovering from the COVID. Strengthen her body and strengthen her spirit and soul. Help her to get back out and come back to church, and bless her with your healing hands, that he will be healed and recovered back to normal completely. We pray for Paul and Becky Horton also, who is affected by the COVID. We pray for your grace and healing on them as well. We pray for Carol, as she is going through some pain at this time. We pray that your hand will touch her, Lord. As we pray together unitedly in spirit, we know that you will send your healing spirit on her and touch her, Lord, and heal her completely as she goes back to the doctor. Bless the doctors and nurses to do the right things for her, that she will be healed and recovered, especially for her hip and the wrist problems that she's going through. We pray for George Vargas, as we heard some good news about his stomach leak. We pray for your healing to touch his body at this time as we pray. At this moment, we pray for healing power to go through his body, Lord, that his wound will be healed completely and the leak will be stopped, that he would not have to go through another surgery which his body cannot stand anymore, Lord. We pray for your grace upon him, given the patience, and we thank you for his continued strength of faith that he has and the trust that he places in you, Lord. Bless the family with your peace. We pray for Todd Barwa and all the others who have asked our prayers. We pray for Jean's niece, Deb, who has been diagnosed with diabetes. We pray for your healing hand to touch her, that she can go through this phase of her sickness and diagnosis and have the right medication and the treatment, that she will be healed by your healing touch, Lord. We pray for peace in her life and also her families. We pray for all of those who are struggling with various illnesses and problems in their lives. We pray for your special hand to be with them. Above all, we pray for peace in their hearts and their minds and their families. We pray for our nation as we face another election year, to have the right people elected to do the right things and make the right decisions for the people. We pray for our country, especially as we're going through this inflation problem. We pray that you bring these prices down and give the people who make the decisions the right wisdom to make the right decisions, so we can bring the economy under control. We pray for the world leaders, that you will give them a spirit of peace, that they will work toward a peaceful atmosphere around the world, that all wars will be stopped. We pray that you will work through the many leaders who are working towards that. We pray for our president, our vice president, our leaders of the Congress and the Senate and the governors of the state and all those who are in power, that they will do the right thing and give them the wisdom and also the humility to follow you, Lord, and fear God. We bring all those in power, those who are being elected, be fearful of God and also respecting prayer and God in their lives, Lord. We pray for our church at this time. Bless us together, Lord, as we do your work in this community and around the world. Help us to be faithful as we look forward to another new year, as we are planning for our maintenance and many other things that we have to do, Lord. Bless us with your guidance, that we can do the right things and be a blessing to this community and around the world. Lord, we pray for our service workers, our military, fire and police and grocery clerks and many other service people who serve us every day. We thank you for their services, Lord. We also pray for their safety and their families' safety. Be with us today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, in our singing, in our meditation of the word, and also the Holy Communion that we take part today. Bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to each one of us, that we can bring that blessing to this world as we live our lives in this world. Bless us with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray, as we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offering, please. Doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us pray. Scripture says that everyone should give according to what God has given in their lives, not reluctantly or not under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. Loving God, you are the source of all that we have and we are. You are the most merciful and gracious God. From your open hand we receive all the gifts that we enjoy in our lives. We come before you with a portion of what you have given us, Lord. Help us to use this for the glory of your name and the work of your kingdom in this world. Help us also to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We pray for all those. We thank you for all those who were able to give it today, and pray for those who could not give it today, Lord. We pray that you will cover them with your love and protection every day. And we pray for your grace and mercy for us to do your faithful work in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we remain standing, we will read the scripture now, which is taken from the book of Isaiah, Chapter 40, verses 7 through 11. Let us pray. Loving God, you are the living word, that you come to our lives as the living word, that you give us life and spirit through your word. As we come before and meditate on your word, Lord, we pray that you will give us an obedient and a humble spirit, that whatever you talk to us, Lord, will bring deeper meaning in our lives, and also the power of your word will spread from us to this world as we obey your word. Open our hearts and our minds, illumine our souls that we can see the lights behind the words that we are hearing and preaching today. Preach to me and preach through me to your people today, that your words will be sounded in this place and also around the world through us, as your witness and testimonies in our lives as we live out our life in this world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the prophet Isaiah that we just read here today is also talking about God being the shepherd and the people being the sheep. And he says that here is your God, the sovereign Lord comes and he rules with a mighty arm. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. So the metaphor or the comparison of God being the shepherd is not uncommon in the Bible. It is all the way through many places. The prophets and many scripture writers have compared the people as the flock of sheep and God being the shepherd. And that is a great psalm that David wrote, Psalm 23 that we just read and we'll be reading for the next several Sundays. Is a great psalm that we usually read at our sick beds and hospitals and funeral times, that gives us comfort and peace in our lives, Psalm 23. And this is a psalm that, as we heard before, that we as children, I have been taught in Sunday school, if you have ever had Sunday school, to memorize this verse, this psalm. It's only 6 verses in this psalm, very small chapter, but it's a very meaningful psalm, and it brings so much peace and comfort in the middle of our problems and troubles that we go through. It is like an intimate relationship that David is talking about, having a shepherd and the sheep. It promises comfort, protection, and victory of evil. So, the comparison of sheep with the people is something that is very relational to the people of Israel, particularly David. Because if you remember, he was a young shepherd boy tending the sheep when he was called by Prophet Samuel to be anointed as the future king of Israel. And we talked about that history before. And he knows what it means to be a shepherd, when you have a bunch of flock of sheep as in your care. We have heard the term black sheep, and it's not a good term, right? The black sheep of a family, because nobody wants them around, and nobody likes them, and they're saying they're the black sheep of the families. And we know that the Baba black sheep, little rhymes that we have in our nurseries that we have sang. But regardless of black sheep or white sheep or brown sheep or yellow sheep, whatever it is, God loves them all. That's the shepherd doesn't really look for the colors. The shepherd cares for the sheep like a caretaker who is responsible for the care of the sheep, feeding them, protecting them from danger, and caring for them as they are under his care. The sheep are such a weak and fearful bunch of animals. So I don't know if I like to be compared to a sheep, because the sheep are one of the dumbest animals in the animal kingdom, according to some animal experts. Because they only know one thing, to look for their food. And they search for green pastures as they go. That's all they care about. They don't have a lot of affinity towards the owner, like dogs or cats or anything like that. And they don't care anything else. And they can get lost very easily. You know, even a bird that flies by them can scare them. So that's how sheep are. They just get scared. And when they get scared, it's unpredictable as to what they do. They can run. They can go into danger. I mean, they can run, but they don't know where they are running to. They might be running into the dangers many times. So that is why the sheep are so much of a comparison sometimes that some people can find objectionable. But someone has said like this: the sheep are dumb, they are directionless, and they are defenseless. They are only after one thing and one thing only, to satisfy themselves. And sheep, if you have watched them, they can only see what is in front of them. They are not aware of what is happening on the sides of them or behind them. And they are not worried about that either. That's how many times the sheep get into trouble. And the other problem with the sheep is they don't have any sense of danger. If they have a wolf or a snake or something that comes around, the birds, if they see some danger, they make noises. They alert others. But the sheep don't. They just run. And they don't alert anybody. So they don't have any sense of danger. At the same time, they are blind followers. That's another thing that I learned about sheep. They just follow somebody in front of them, another sheep in front of them. And if that sheep goes to a north, everybody follows to the north. And if something turns to the left, they follow to the left. And in fact, there was a news one time from Turkey in the newspaper, and also I read that in one of the devotionals that they quoted, that a shepherd was tending for, they usually have large crowds of sheep, like 1,500 to 2,000 sheep under a couple of shepherds that they tend in the deserts. And one time, about 1,500 sheep ran off of a cliff while they were eating lunch. About 700 or 800 of them died. The rest of them didn't die because they fell on top of the others, because they had a big bunch of wool lying before that. The reason is that one stupid or dumb sheep grabbed onto a plant that was on the cliff and fell off. Then everybody followed. That's what happened. It happens all the time. And the shepherds know that, because the sheep follow regardless of what happens in front of them. They don't have a sense of danger. They don't know how to learn. You know, other animals will learn when somebody else is in danger. A monkey knows that when somebody else is hurting, they don't go there. Or an animal. So sheep is not like that. So they are dumb, they are directionless, and also they are defenseless. Some very few times that you see that they fight each other. Other than that, they would not fight an enemy. They will never fight an enemy. A chicken will fight an enemy. A horse will fight an enemy, a cow will fight an enemy if they are threatened. But the sheep, when they are threatened, they don't fight back. They don't fight back. Sometimes they fight each other. That's for food most of the time, or some other things. But when they are attacked by an enemy, they would not fight back. So they are defenseless also. So I don't know if you can relate to that life. I can many times relate to that. I find myself as being dumb many times, making mistakes that I have made over and over again, and knowing that it was a mistake. But being so much dumb, our focus or my focus get distracted, the immediate things, and I think this was better for me, even though I have made the same mistakes. We do that over and over. Many of you probably can relate to that. And many of us are directionless too when it comes to real making decisions. Are we doing the right things? And many of us, like one of the stories that I usually hear, that a wife called her husband. He was driving back home from work and saying that you're going on 400 north and there is a guy coming in the wrong direction, please watch. And she said, honey, it's not just one guy, there's a lot of them are in the wrong direction. So we are all in the wrong direction many times, right? We think that we are in the right directions, and we think that we are making the right decisions. But just like the sheep, we can relate. I can relate to myself on that. You know, sometimes I feel myself directionless. And a lot of times we think that we are smart. And many of us are smart, believe me. But at the same time, we are not always smart. We get lost because of our ignorance, just like the sheep. They, you know, we follow the crowd, don't we? And if you think that you are not following, look at the commercials on the TV. Look at all the commercialization that is taking and guiding you every day without even you knowing it. You're following somebody. You're following a product, not even knowing that it is the right thing for you. And our politicians are very good at asking you to follow so that they will make you follow if you don't follow. So those are all things that we can relate very much to the life of a sheep. The bottom line is that the sheep definitely needs a shepherd, somebody to care for them. That is what humanity is. We cannot make decisions. We don't know what's good for us. Look at the wars that are going on in Ukraine, and now they're talking about Taiwan and many other things. And some people think that's a good thing to do, to have a war. And the world is, you know, like going upside down because of all of these decisions that people are making. These are not stupid people making decisions. Many of them are thinking that they're very smart. But overall in our future, they are all making decisions that is hurting us as humanity. And we are going just like sheep without a shepherd. And that's where we need a shepherd to guide us and follow us, even though we think we are very smart and we know what we are doing. So that need for a shepherd is very important in our lives. So David found out that he needs a shepherd. And he counted on God as his shepherd, even when he was a king. And before he was king, he knew how being a shepherd was the most important job of his life, even more than a king, to care for his sheep. Jesus said about a parable that you all know, that about 100 sheep, and one of them got lost, and the shepherd had to leave the 99 and went and looked for that one sheep, because he knows that even that life of that one sheep is important for him. Sometimes the world doesn't think that 1 out of 100 is what, 1%? Oh, we can write that off. But God doesn't write it off. Every single life is important to our shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. So When the scripture is comparing God as the shepherd, we as the sheep, it's a very personal relationship. And it becomes so personal that God is caring for us even when we are not aware of it. When we run into danger, how many times God has saved us even when we didn't know. Sometimes when I drive through the highways, I see in front of me certain cars that swerve around other cars, and how that one car closely and narrowly missed, even though that car driver never even knew that happened. How many times it has happened to us? And I thank God for saving me from those events or things and accidents and problems that we are not even aware of. It is God's care always with us that keeps us. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And I came to this world to tend you and give my life for you. A good shepherd who gives his life for his flock, because he thinks each one under his care is precious in his possession. There were no big sheep or little sheep. Every sheep is precious to the shepherd. So it is with the Lord. He loves all sheep equally. All are precious in his sight. And you and I can understand that so precious to the Lord that he willingly gave up his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. Had I been the only one who is the sinner in this world, I believe that Jesus would still have come to save me and look for me. Our soul is very precious, and Jesus said it very, what profit is to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And that's why this scripture compares the relationship with us and God like the sheep and the shepherd. The shepherd considers every single life very important and very precious in his sight. The shepherd knows that the sheep will never find its way back home by its own efforts. And if we let them go, they will never come back. They will go and get lost and hurt themselves. God is a good God. He is a great shepherd. And he is the one who cares for us regardless of where we are, at what point of a time in our life. He cares each and every one of us. Jesus Christ came to save all who are lost. He will go beyond any risk of life to search for the lost one. Ultimately, there are only two groups of people in this world. I probably have said this before. The saved and the lost. There's the Titanic Museum. I believe it's somewhere in New York City somewhere. That there's an exhibit where visitors can go and visit the relics and the parts from the old Titanic are on display. And as you enter the museum and buy a ticket, you will also give... they will also give you a copy of the original ticket of one of the passengers while you go in. So it will have the original name of the passenger, a replica of that original ticket that was in that passenger, was a passenger in that ship at that time, Titanic. So after the tour, you go through the tour, and when you come out into the outside, the exit gate, it ends with an unforgettable scene when you come out. A large board listed names of all the passengers, including their status. The first class, second class, and the crew or whatever. And as you look for the name of the person that you have in your ticket, you will notice a big red line that divides the two blocks of names. And all the names that above the lines are the ones who were saved, and below the line are the ones who were lost in that Titanic accident. So you can relate to yourself and say what name you got. It teaches us a very important lesson as we go about our lives in this world. It really doesn't make any difference how the world ranks us in status. You could be in first class, you could be in second class. But all that matters is the red line. If you are above the line, or below the line, is the saved or lost? Jesus said, what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? The great ship Titanic sank in 1912 on April 15th. It was a ship that was supposed to be unsinkable. But when it took off from England, all kinds of passengers were on board. Millionaires, celebrities, middle-income people, some lower class probably also in that ship. But a few hours later, it only carried two classes of people, the lost and the saved. And it matters where we are today as we reflect on our lives. Are we in the group of the saved because of Jesus who came to this world? Or are we among the lost? As we go from this place, let us rejoice that we are among the saved, because God has chosen to love us. In spite of our sins, he sent his son to die for us. So as we come before the table, let us be thankful for God, for the great sacrifice that he has done on the cross of Calvary, so that we are in the group of the saved in this world. May the good Lord bless us these words. And please come and join the table today as the ushers guide you. The Methodist table is an open table. regardless of your age or denomination, you're all invited to come and join this the Lord's table and take part in this meal today. If you can find a laminated sheet in your pews, we will follow that for our service for Holy Communion. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night to which he gave himself up for us, he gave thanks to you. He took the bread, and he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, gathered here and also on this gifts of bread and drink. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and so we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, our honor and glory is yours, Father Almighty, now and forever. Amen. As the ushers guide, please come forward and take up in this Lord's table. Let us pray. Give thanks for this Holy Communion. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The closing hymn is 381, "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us." We will sing verses 1. 2 and 4, if you are able, please stand.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care.
in thy pleasant pasture feed us, for our use thy forts prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast poured us thine beyond. Blessed Jesus, thou hast poured us thine beyond. We are thine, thou dost befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin and tend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear us to hear then we pray. Number four. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. As people of God, we are the sheep of his pasture, and God, the good Lord, is our shepherd. Go in the knowledge that God is our shepherd and we shall never want anything again. So go in the comfort knowing that God is there with you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.